me turn my own heart and your hearts in prayer to the Lord. So, Father God, as I still hear the echoes of glory in the highest, I thank you. I thank you that you have been so gracious, and that though glory is all yours, you have come and you have made a way. Your arm has worked out this salvation for us, because your love for us was so great that you, though we rebelled against you, though we shook our fist at you, you made a way that we can turn to you and have all of our sin forgiven, and that we can actually be adopted back into your family as full children with all the full benefits and blessings, Lord, not just here, but in the ages to come. So God, I thank you. I thank you, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, even now, even as we open your word to minister to us, Lord, maybe there be something in either the reading of the scripture itself or some thought that you put into the heart of someone that reminds them or tells them even for the first time how deeply you love them, how much you care for them, and how much you want to be their Father and their God, and allow us to be your people and your children. So, Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, as I started to say, we're in chapter 8 in John, and last time I believe we got through verse 20 or even into verses 21 a little bit further, and I hit on a few things that I knew the Lord was having me emphasize that morning, and I listened back to it. And when you do prepare sometimes, you know, you have these different things that you think you're going to say. And then you get up here, and it doesn't always come out that way. And that's not always bad at all, you know, because you trust God, and you're trusting that in the things that you studied, you know, that they're for a reason. And sometimes I have to say, you know what, that was just for my edification. And I know Pastor Dave even shared with me last week, like, there was like two really cool things that God showed him as he was getting ready. And he got all done and goes, I didn't do the two really cool things. And as someone who's in this position, you're like, well, maybe I thought they were cool. Maybe it was just for me, or maybe other people wouldn't have thought it was cool. Or maybe I would have said, hey, look what God showed me, and it would have came out wrong. You know, so forget all that stuff. You know, just hear God's word and hear, you know, the way he speaks to you, whether it be, you know, through us or through anyone that's here. So there were some things in, even as I was looking at this, and we were discussing and talking about the fact that in verse 12, Jesus had made this claim about being, you know, the light of the world. And we were talking about how Satan is a imitator of that light, and he tries to drown out, you know, in some ways the light, and he creates light pollution, and he masquerades. And yet Jesus goes on in those verses, and he's making this reference and this claim that his being the light of the world is self-evident. He's like, I don't need a witness. Is a part of what he's saying. And the Jews that are listening to him are getting frustrated with the fact that there's no witness. And if you think about light, okay, outside of being blind, okay, if light's on, okay, it's on. It is self-evident that the light is on. So if you are anywhere near the light, you know that the light is on. So in some ways, Jesus is like, I am the light of the world. If you're willing to accept what he's saying, you're going to see that, and he's going to make a way for you to see where you're going. And that's why we walk with him in the light. And yet there's these parallels and these analogies in Scripture that we read about prior to walking in the light, literally being in darkness. And the Scriptures tell us that, you know, the enemy has blinded, and he's literally put blinders up. So one of the, best prayers that you can continually make for those who've not seen the light is to ask the Holy Spirit to pull those blinders away, right? So that you can see and perceive and understand. Because the Lord is self-evident. And we're going to see that a few times in the Scriptures today. You know, when Moses asked God who he was, he said, I am. I am that I am. He is the ever-present one. He is the ever-God, continually. And so as Jesus made these references to being the light of the world, you know, we get to this portion, and let me find a place for us to pick up here. I'm around about verse 18. I'm going to kind of jump in and out here as we move forward. But around verse 18, you know, he said, you know, I bear witness about myself, and the Father also bears witness about him. And his hearers pick up on that, and they're like, you know, well, where is your Father? You know, if you're going to say that he's given, where is he? And what they're doing is they're actually starting to take a little bit of a pot shot at him. And it's going to get clarified in the verses that we read today, and it's a part of why I wanted to come to here. Because there's questions about the legitimacy of Jesus' birth, and basically that he's an illegitimate child. So that even there becomes another layer of evidence that there was a pretty strong belief and rumor that Mary was pregnant, or, you know, outside of wedlock. Obviously, being obvious that she wasn't married to Joseph, but even how his whole, how Jesus's, you know, gestation even came to be is something that these guys are starting to poke at. So he goes on and says, you know, you don't know me or my Father, because if you knew my Father, you'd know me also. And as he's teaching there, though there was all these people that wanted to arrest him, they still didn't do it. And we see these words from John there again, that his time had not yet come. So let me read verses 21 to 30, make a brief comment, and then I'll move us into some more of the newer portion for today. So he said to them again, and if we look back in chapter 5, you can hear some of the same verbiage. I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die. I'm sorry. I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, he'll kill himself? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? He said to them, you're from below, I'm from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. I told you you would die in your sin, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Let me pause there for a minute. The he is inserted by the Bible translators to make this read a little bit better. There aren't any manuscripts that have that word he. So it really can read like this in verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And we're going to see that again in a moment. So they said to Jesus, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. Jesus can't help but proclaim what he hears the Father saying. And his awareness of who he is powerful, but very difficult for his hearers to understand. So verse 27, they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that he is also inserted again. So then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. And I'll pause us there for a second. Jesus, very, very clearly keeps referring to himself as this one who's been sent, right? He's one who's been sent. And we read in the scriptures, he grew in his knowledge. And that's kind of an odd thing for us to try to imagine. But, you know, Jesus, born as a baby, you know, grew up and grew in his knowledge and understanding. And as he was growing and responding to God's revelation of who he was, he, you know, continue to understand that he's actually been sent by God. And he obviously had this very, very special, very, very unique relationship with God. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. Unique in ways that are solely his. You know, we're going to see he is the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father. Yet, the Father, okay, is looking to adopt other children and make them full heirs with the one and only Son. It is remarkable. So here is Jesus realizes, you know, that he is sent from God. And he makes these very clear references that of who he is and who he knows he's identifying himself with. It's a part of why time and time again, you know, the Jews are yelling out, "You're blaspheming. You're making yourself equal with God." And this is the challenge that these guys are wrestling with and trying to understand with Jesus. So I'm going to read for us the rest of the chapter. So it's a little bit lengthy, probably more than I would normally read in one portion. I may or may not make a couple of color comments on the way, but then I'll come back and unpack just a couple of things I really think the Lord wants us to meditate on for this morning, as well as allow its truth to permeate us. So verse 30 said, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. And verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, and this is interesting as we, and here I'm color commentating right out of the first verse, okay. It's interesting because in the use of the pronouns, it gets a little bit difficult to follow who exactly is he talking to, because there's this mixed group. And people are hearing what he's saying, and they're moving, right, in their hearts towards faith. And so this reference that John has all throughout his Gospels, they believed in him, and these believed in him, and those believed in him. Because we know that he wrote this Gospel so that, you know, we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing in him, we have life in his name. So he weaves this in. So as people are hearing him, and they're hearing him make these claims about who he is, there's some people that are saying, I think I see who this is. And yet there's this mixed crowd. So Jesus kind of goes back and forth with them. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my true disciples. You are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A verse that we like to use a lot. So it's some of these folks as well as some of the others based on what they say. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone except the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, right, the Persians, right. Read the Old Testament, right? But, okay, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You're doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. Right? Implying that he is. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do what your father desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. Many of you have translations that say he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Ouch. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? They're telling me he's crazy. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he's the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he's our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I'd be a liar like you. Isn't it fun to put intonation in the scriptures in case it's there? Okay. But I do not know him. I'm sorry. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is remarkable, isn't it? It is remarkable. Here, these listeners, right, making claims about being Abraham's offspring. And one of the points for today, two main points, one of them is that not all descendants are children. All right, I'm going to play with the words a little bit. Not all offspring are children. Okay? There's a difference between being a child from your parent and being a child of your parent. It's interesting, the Greek words that are used here. If we look back on verse 33, where they make the claim, we're the offspring of Abraham, and Jesus repeats it in verse 36, I know that you're the offspring of Abraham. It's literally offspring. The Greek word there is sperma. Okay, you are the progeny. You have been born through Abraham's lineage. Yet, when Jesus then takes them to another level in verse 39, he says, but if you were Abraham's children, and here there's the word technon, and it's if you were a child of Abraham, if you were actually trying to be like Abraham, if you were a learner of Abraham, okay, you would hear what Jesus is saying the same way Abraham had vision of who Jesus was going to be and rejoiced. And Jesus is pointing out, you can make claims that you're in the lineage from Abraham, okay, but as we all know, the Lord looks at our heart. Looks at our heart. Right? There is not one of us sitting here that can say, you know, I was born into a Christian household, therefore I'm a Christian. Or I was born in a Christian nation, therefore I'm a Christian. It doesn't work that way. Right? Each person individually has to respond to the revelation that God has given about himself. And our response to that revelation is what God holds us accountable for. And we are accountable for a lot. Right? We live in a beautiful, glorious day and age, and I don't say that to scare us, other than to walk with a good, healthy fear of the Lord. Right? We have been given much. So Jesus here is saying to them, if you were actually a technon, a child of Abraham, you would get it. And the beauty is, this is the same word that is used in the beginning of John. I'm going to pop open my actual full Bible. John in verse 12 of the first chapter tells us, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Technon. Okay? That he is giving us this ability that though we are physical descendants, right, we are created by God. Okay? We're in a if you want to say a lineage through Adam, through Noah, that we all share, that God set into motion. But we needed Jesus to give us the right to be a child of God. And it's in that that then the Lord knows us. And it's crazy what starts to unpack for us. So it was there in that verse, and then again in chapter 11. Where am I? 11:52, that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for that nation, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So it's interesting the way Jesus makes this distinction. Because remember, Abraham had other children, right? Ishmael, right, was a son of Abraham, but he's not the son of the promise, right? Isaac was a son of the promise. Jesus is both the son of God and the son sent from God. Hey, he's the only one who can ever be sent from God in that way. And we have those words that we see often in the scriptures, especially in John, about being the one and only begotten Son of God, right? And that word is very uniquely used to be, you know, that God only had one son. And to try to, you know, imagine, and maybe we'll think a little bit more about it next week, but the fact that, you know, Mary had, you know, the chromosomes necessary to create life, but needed the other half that God literally provided. You know, there's this literal mingling of human flesh chromosomes with perfect spiritual Christ chromosome, and we end up with the God-man. So things that I'm not sure we'll ever fully get our brain around, but, you know, we see the evidence of what happened when he comes. So now Jesus has got this back and forth going, and I appreciate you letting me maybe put intonation into the scripture there that I think might be there one way or another, you know, as we read and try to understand the way things are going back and forth. And, you know, Jesus is trying to say to these guys, I have come from God. I know what I'm speaking is true. And if we think about that language analogy I brought up in the beginning, okay, Jesus speaks and can only speak truth-ease. Truth-ease. He can say nothing else. Right? He speaks truth-ease. And to know that he's speaking truth-ease, we have to have an ear for it. Right? Because what happens is the devil, and now you can guess what language he speaks, lies. Right? And he can only speak lies. Everything he says is some form of a lie. And it's why we need, because we have all been born in a world that speaks lies. So as we start to speak, guess what accent we have? Liars. We all have lying in our, you know, so that God's spirit can hear, hey, you know what? You're not a native truth speaker. Lying comes much easier to you, doesn't it? I can hear it in the way you talk. And there's this evidence in us that, you know what? It's true, whether we like it or not, but we realize over time that God is not doing this because he wants to, I'll say, make us feel bad. Okay? It's because he knows that those lies are stealing, killing, and destroying the God life that he put in us. And the fact that he made you and he made me to reflect and to know him, okay, like no one else. We all have these unique characteristics and this unique wiring. And they're literally, right, they're literally are parts of God that can only be reflected in you. So Satan tries so hard to keep anybody from turning to God so that maybe that element of God's glory could be muted, as if he could hide God's glory. Because we know that God is making all things new. I said it before. Okay? And in that day, his glory is going to shine like never before. Okay? Because he's not going to allow this to exist forever. And in the eternal perspective, hey, not only is it Is he trustworthy? We'll understand. Whatever we need to understand, we'll understand. Or we just look back on this time and say, okay, it adds up to zero. We're okay with that. But he knows what he's doing. And, you know, here, Jesus is saying to his hearers, you guys are liars. I can hear the accent that you got from your father. Right? Because if you knew how to hear what I'm saying, and if you knew the God that you claim you know, you'd be able to also discern that what I'm saying is true. And it brings me back to that verse in chapter 7, verse 17. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he'll know whether my teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Jesus makes this reference time and time again that if you, if I, any of us, okay, are willing just to say, God, if it's you, help me understand, help me see. And we get to see. It's why we do have to turn from whatever we're doing, okay, and turn towards God. And yet, when we do, there he is with open arms. Okay? He's not trying to hide this from us. He's not trying to hide who he is. You know, all the more, you know, he has come so that we can have life and have it abundantly. So that yet both parts of that John 10, which we'll come up to in the not too distant future. But so Jesus is going back and forth with these guys, right, about the fact that if they were truly of God, if they were truly children, you know, of Abraham, not just from Abraham, that then they would understand that he has come from God. And there's people as they're hearing this, and even you and I, as you hear God's word, we need to just ask the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to help us discern right and wrong, good from evil. Because I've said it before, Satan has been practicing deceiving for a long time. He is very good at it. Okay? Yet we don't have to be afraid of how good he is at deceiving, because God has deposited truth in you. Okay? He has given you his Holy Spirit as a deposit so that you can have a truth-o-meter, a truthometer, whatever you want to call it. Okay? So that you can now hear when truth is being spoken by God's Spirit or when a lie is being spoken by the enemy. And in our minds, on goes this war. Right? God, is that really you? You know, Lord, make it clear. Please make it clear. You know, one of my prayers is, you know what it takes for me to know this is you. Make that happen, please. Okay. And yet we hear in the scriptures, you know, which of us, if we ask for bread, is God going to give us a stone? All right? We make this harder. I know I do. Make it harder than it needs to be. It really is as simple as continually committing your ways before the Lord. Okay, and allowing him to move. And there are going to be those times where it was crystal clear. You heard from God. And there's other times where you're like, Lord, I committed this to you, and I'm going to just move forward on faith that you're making my path straight. Okay? Because you love me so much that if I'm getting off track a little bit, you're going to move me over. And you do it in a gentle and loving way because you really care about me. And your whole desire is to see me, you know, healthy and well, and knowing you and loving you. So we don't have to fear what the enemy does. So here's the other thing that I want to leave us with today. So if we're looking at what Jesus is doing, right, and engaging these people in this conversation, we realize that he keeps making this reference to the fact that he's been sent by God. Right? He's on a mission. Right? He is on a mission. And he is literally out to rescue and redeem and reconcile the world. Okay? This world that's been, I'm going to say, kidnapped, exploited, and even rebellious. Because we've been hearing this lie language for so long, we didn't realize it was lies. We were taking it in. We were absorbing it, saying, you know what, yeah. I know what this is about. I know what my life's about. I know who I am. I'm a self-made man. I'm this, I'm that. I can take care of this. And it doesn't take long for many of us, or I should say hopefully most of us, you know, to realize I am not God. Okay? And if I don't yield to the one and only true God, I am making the claim that either I'm God or something else is. So I need to surrender. And here Jesus is coming to literally, okay, literally, like we all want to be the pursuit of my own happiness. You know, that's this great lie from Hollywood that I hear, and when I hear it in a show or hear that, I heard it recently, you know, you deserve to be happy. So therefore, this is what's not said, pursue whatever brings you pleasure. Right? And it's done, okay, in this free fall. Whatever, you deserve to be happy. Okay? Now, am I saying you deserve to be unhappy? I am not. Because if you read your Bible, Jesus is in agony praying to the Father, Lord, give them the joy that I have with you, that I've known from the beginning. Hey, I want my joy to be complete in you. Joy, hey, not happy. Hey, circumstances are going to influence whether we're in a good mood any one day or another, or how much you slept or didn't sleep, or who knows what. Hey, but the Lord is desiring for us to know him and have an abundant life. And here he is coming to these people who, you know, we can, I'll say, blame the enemy, right? We can be like Adam, the woman you gave me, you know, she gave me to eat, right? And we're like, what's God going to say? But well, what did I tell you? I told you not to eat. And what'd you do? The woman you gave me, now what did you do? I ate. Thank you. Okay? We all ate. We can say the devil, blah, 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 blah. And yes, he created this environment, but God has come through and said, no, the truth is here. You can respond to the truth. You don't have to believe the lies. Okay? Because the lies are trying to kill and destroy. And this is what the way God gave it to me this week. Okay? If someone passes away in your family that was very, very wealthy, right, you're kind of hoping that maybe you're in the will. Right? Everybody wants a rich uncle they didn't know about. And we want that so that we can have some temporary relief from a financial end. How shallow. I mean, but I'm there. Okay? Everybody wants to be in the will. Right, when the person's rich. Do you realize that Jesus came to earth to put you in infinite God's will? God, who his resources don't end. So I don't care how rich your, you know, Uncle Bill Gates is or whatever, okay, it's only money. And you're leaving it all when you leave. Yet infinite God has come. And he sent his son so that his son can say, there's going to be a reading of my father's will. Okay? The amount that's going to be given out is infinite. It will provide for you forever, complete joy. Is there anybody here who'd like to have their name added to the will? I see a couple hands. Thank you. Would you like to have your name in that will? What are we saying no to? Okay? And I'm not saying this to make easy believism. You know, hey, come get from God. You know, we know that in this, hey, when you say, put me in the will, you're saying your will, not my will. So with it comes the surrender. Amen. So with it says, you know what? This life is of no value when it really comes down to it. What more could I do with this life than to just be, as Pastor Dave said last week, you know, your servant? What else would even make any sense? And in that, Jesus is saying, this is great, isn't it? I have got so much. I'm looking for some brothers and sisters to share it with. Okay? The enemy was trying to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm trying to give you abundant life. Okay? This is the gospel. This is what, I'll say, Christmas is about. I hate to put it in that way because it gets so, you know, so watered down. But Jesus is looking for people to put in the Father's will. Amen? Amen. All right. This is God's word for us this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to pray a blessing over you. I want to ask if there's anyone here that needs to, I'll say, surrender for the first time, because we all need to continually surrender. But if there's anyone here that needs to, that's never actually said, you know what, God, I need you, and I need to surrender this life. And the fact that you are going to give me abundant life is amazing, but I need forgiveness of my sin, okay? Because I have been rebellious, and I have been speaking the language of lying, and yet you have come to set me free. If you're that person this morning, or if there's more than one person, please, when I dismiss everybody, come forward and allow one of us to pray with you. We'll be glad to set you free, because that's what Jesus said. You're going to receive the truth, and he is the truth. We're several chapters from him making that clear, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But you receive the truth, and you then become free, because as we saw here, otherwise we are slaves to sin. So Father God, as I say thank you for this day, thank you for the truth of your word, thank you that you have come to make us your children. Lord, we surrender to you, and we say we want to be children of you. You said you'd give us the right, a right that we did not have and could not get because we were rebellious, but you have come to give it to us. So Father, we receive that, and we thank you for that right, and Lord, and we want to live in the light of being that, of being your children, that we can go from this place, Lord, especially in these weeks ahead as we interact with maybe some folks we don't get to see all the time, God, that we would be the light of the world. Okay? You told us that you are the light, but you have deposited yourself in us so that we can be light and we can point others and show others. So, Lord, whether it be in word or in action, I pray that each person as they leave here would more and more reflect who you are, that we can all the more, okay, point to you and allow you to make your name great even through us. So, Father, as we prepare to go this morning, I pray this blessing over everyone here in the words that you gave Moses when you said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. If you need prayer or if you need to receive